grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Holy Gospel for this Sunday, the 7th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, verses 33 through 35. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, Jesus put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Having seen the miracle wrought by the Lord Jesus, his healing of one who was both deaf and had an impediment in his speech, the people who saw it were astonished and exclaimed, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. In these words of the astonished bystanders, we in fact hear an echo of some words that are found at the very beginning of Holy Scripture, at the end of the great story of creation, where we read, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But as we look at the world God made, as it is today, it's some words of St. Paul that perhaps better express our feelings, where St. Paul writes, "Up to the present moment, the whole created universe groans in all its parts as if in the pangs of childbirth." Up to the present moment, the whole created universe groans in all its parts as if in the pangs of childbirth. To be sure, we can still see and take pleasure in the goodness and sheer beauty of all that God has made. In fact, wherever we look in creation, from the tiniest creatures to the unimaginable vastness of the universe, we are filled with wonder at all that God has made, but still it is the brokenness of God's good creation that to such a great extent fills our vision. The Son of God came into this world to heal that brokenness. And in the miracle he wrought, we catch a glimpse of God's truly loving purpose for the whole creation, because all Christ's miracles point forward to the great miracle of Christ's resurrection, and Christ's resurrection points to the final glorification of the whole creation. For St. Paul not only writes that the whole created universe groans in all its parts as if in the pangs of childbirth, St. Paul also writes that the whole creation is to be freed from the shackles of mortality and enter upon the liberty and splendor of the children of God. In my sermon this past Easter day, I referred to some words of G.K. Chesterton, which express this truth in a memorable way. Chesterton speaks of how, at daybreak on that first Easter day, the friends of Jesus came to his tomb and discovered that the stone had been rolled away and that the tomb was empty. Chesterton writes, "In varying ways they realized the wonder, but they hardly realized that what they were looking at was the first day of a new creation. In varying ways they realized the wonder, but they hardly realized that what they were looking at was the first day of a new creation." Yes, as we look at the world today, it does seem that, as St. Paul wrote, the whole created universe groans in all its parts as if in the pangs of childbirth. That is unmistakably real. But what is also unmistakably real for those who believe that the incarnate Son of God overcame death and the grave and all the powers of darkness is the Christian hope. A hope so large and so wonderful that the mind can never fully understand its wonder, nor human words ever fully express it. Even the inspired visions of St. John in the book of Revelation can only point to what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the human heart imagined. And it is that great hope that is foreshadowed in Christ's miracle of healing the one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, because all Christ's miracles point forward to the great miracle of his resurrection, which is but the beginning of the restoration of all things. On that last and great day, when the risen Lord will appear in glory, and the whole creation will, as St. Paul writes, be freed from the shackles of mortality and enter upon the liberty and splendor of the children of God. At the very beginning of Holy Scripture, we are told that God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. At the very end of Holy Scripture, at the end of the revelation to St. John, the risen Lord says, "Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new." And because every Sunday is the Lord's Day, the day of the Lord's resurrection, every Lord's Day, every Sunday, is an anticipation of that great and blessed hope as we meet the risen Lord in the holy mysteries of his body and blood. In the meantime, we make our way through this wonderful yet broken world in which we are constantly in need of the healing touch of Christ, who is the great physician of soul and body. Well, you and I may not be literally deaf or have an impediment in our speech, but there is still in every one of us a lot of deafness to the voice of God. And there is a lot of hesitancy and indeed of evil in our speech. Just think of the words of St. James that we hear at the Divine Service every year on the Sunday before Ascension Day. St. James writes, "Every one of you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. For one's anger does not promote the righteousness of God." One may think that he's religious, but if one has no control over his tongue, he is deceiving himself and his religion is futile. The kind of religion that is without stain or fault in the sight of God our Father is this: to go to the help of orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself untarnished from the world. It's scarcely possible to exaggerate the harm done by the careless use of the tongue. And the greater one's responsibilities in life, the greater is the harm done by the careless use of the tongue. So how do I measure up to the word of God spoken through St. James? How well have we heard that word? How well do we act on it? Isn't there in each one of us more than a little deafness to this word of God? And so the word of Jesus, spoken to the one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, is also a word which Jesus speaks to you and to me. "Ephphatha, be opened," Jesus says. "Be opened to the word of my forgiveness, no matter what your sin. Be open to my word which can release you from your sin and not leave you tied up in it. Be open to my word which daily calls you out of sin into the way of obedience, out of sorrow into joy, out of death into life. Be open to that word which I will in the end speak, calling you to life and joy everlasting, when I come again and cry out over the graves of all my sleeping children. Ephphatha, be opened." Oh, praise ye the Lord. Thanksgiving and song to him be outpoured all ages along. For love in creation, for heaven restored, for grace of salvation, oh, praise ye the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made.